Hey there, everyone. Welcome to season 4 of the Reading Project podcast. I'm so excited to be launching the 4th season. I can't even believe it, but here we are. So the Reading Project podcast is hosted by yours truly, Ashley DiMercaro from Your Reading Tutor, LLC. I'm a private reading tutor, podcaster, virtual summit host, and business mentor. I work with students in grades K-3, usually. And I offer homeschooling support packages. I'm also a wife and homeschooling mom to my 2 kiddos. My mission is to help families, caregivers, and educators build stronger and more confident readers one episode at a time. I want you to know that you don't have to be a teacher in order to help your struggling reader. I'm here to help with book suggestions, homework tips and tricks, mindset work, tools and ideas for tackling reading, writing, and spelling work at home. And I'll be bringing in guest experts to share their wisdom as well. I have some great new episodes planned for you this year. You can expect new episodes twice a month this season. This season, I'll be talking about banned books, graphic novels, building reading fluency, reading challenges, and so much more. Watch for a new style of episode where I do a deep dive into a student and family profile and talk about how I would approach helping the student and family. When you're listening this season, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, and follow me on Instagram at Your Reading Tutor, or send me an email at ashleyd@yourreadingtutor.com. And we'll make sure to include the links to those things down in the show notes. All right, let's dive in to season 4 of the Reading Project podcast. Let's go. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of the Reading Project podcast. I'm excited because I have a new guest joining me today. His name is Jody Sperling. Jody is the author of the Luke in Time mysteries and the host of the TRBM podcast for authors who want to get their books into more readers' hands. Fun fact, he's also hitchhiked across the country and lived out of his van. Today, we're going to focus on chatting with him about how he was able to support his own children in learning to read for comprehension and develop a love of reading in their home. All right, everyone, let's go. All right. Welcome, Jody. Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation. Reading is so powerful and important, and the younger you get them, the better it turns out.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. All right. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and some of your experience related to reading and literacy?
You know, one of the memories that stands out to me the most is that I was late to reading. I can't tell you the reasons why. I'm not a psychologist, but I do know that my earliest memories is one of my stepmom wanting me to do some reading time in the middle of the day. And she had this this book. I don't remember the title, but it was a mule. And it was fairly simple drawings. And I attempted to discern what the story was based on the drawings instead of actually reading. And it was very simple. It was within my reading ability. But for some reason, I was just hesitant to be a reader. And I'll never forget, she was able to really call me out on that and say, like, you clearly did not read this book, and kind of made me sit down to read it. And it wasn't a pleasant experience. I didn't develop a love for reading because she caught me on my BS. I developed a love for reading still later than that, when I saw these pristine, beautiful copies of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings that were sitting on my dad's bookshelf. So that's how late I got into it. I was about 11 years old, and my dad said, sure, give it a try, see what happens. And it was that moment with The Hobbit, sitting down in my bed, words that were a little bit out of my reach, plot points that were a little bit out of my reach, that just caught me. And it was because he cared so little in this strange way that it really got me.
Right. He wasn't right there hovering, you know, making sure you read everything correctly, but he was like, sure, you want to try? Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. Take a swing.
Yeah. I love that. That's a great memory. And so then as you became an adult and you started your own family, what has reading been like for you and your own children?
Yeah. So one of the things that I thought was most important was really focusing on the page with our kids. My wife grew up loving The Wind in the Willows, and that's actually not a book that I ever had encountered in my time. And so it wasn't there. Like Beatrice Potter was something that was familiar to me somewhere in the like point where I was being read to. And so like I knew some of those kids' books, but maybe not intimately. And when we had kids, what I knew for myself based on my rather strange development was that I wanted my kids to love reading. And so part of that was being really careful with screen time. But the other part of that was thinking, how do I make this activity that is so precious to me now something that is not fearful for them, that they don't feel they have to lie to me about, that they don't have to deceive, that they can embrace at their own level? And so, you know, it's recommendations, things like that. Like I had friends when we were first parents that said Diary of a Wimpy Kid is great, or Captain Underpants is great, and things that you know, those recommendations just helped so much to get our kids trying things.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point about other parent recommendations. I definitely encourage families to find other families with kids a similar age, and you can like swap books and share titles. And and I love the two that you mentioned too, because they're not necessarily like, no one is going to say that, you know, Captain Underpants is like this literary genius, right? But but it's funny, and the kid, you know, kids relate to it and they like it. And I think having the willingness to allow your kids to read whatever gets them reading, like, just as long, you know, they're into it and they're reading, don't worry about if it's a good book necessarily, right?
Absolutely. If there's words on the page, it's probably worth their time as kids. One thing I will say about that that I think has really helped us is I will pick books that were meaningful to me or are now meaningful to me that are at their level that I present to them when we do reading time. And that's still something that I do even with my oldest, who will be turning 12 soon, is that I read to them on a fairly regular basis, because that's part of literacy and it's a really important part of comprehension. And it's helped tremendously.
Yeah, I have a son who is turning 12 soon also. And we have noticed that he loves to be read to. He loves audiobooks. He definitely chooses audiobooks over reading, like holding a book in his hand, which is also, you know, different than me, but okay still, right? Like we have to accept that from our children. They might not enjoy it the same way we do, but that's totally fine. But what we have started doing is introducing him to novels that we like. So recently it was The Witches by Roald Dahl. Like we both I love Roald Dahl, and we like we just want to get him hearing some of those stories. So we do that for Read Aloud, and that's been really fun. So all right. So tell me more about your kids and how their reading has gone. Like, you know, it's clear it was really important to you and you've put a focus on that, but you know, what's it been like? Has it always been easy?
No. And one of the things that I want to say up front is that two of my sons, my oldest and my youngest, are both very clearly on the spectrum autistic, and they don't know it. That was a choice we made as parents. Some people may disagree with that choice, but that's what we chose for our kids. We didn't want them to grow up with a label. We wanted them to grow up with endless possibility. However, we noticed it. And my oldest, it presented pretty early. He loved Eric Carl, and right now, so The Hungry Caterpillar is one of his, but there's actually the whole like Black Bear series, and he loved those. And so we would go to our local hardware store and we would buy the, like, they're fairly nice, like plastic figurines of the animals. Yeah. And as much as reading, he loved organizing them in order of the book. And he could then memorize like the book, and he would look at the figurines that were lined up on a table or a bench and quote the whole book looking at them. And then he'd walk away. He would do some play. Maybe he'd watch some Daniel Tiger, different things like that. And he would return. And I sometimes was very playful and I would switch the figurines up, and he would just at a glance see that they were out of order, and that very much upset him. And as much as it was kind of fun as a papa to kind of like upset the apple cart a little bit, like we noticed pretty quickly that that was so important to him, that there was probably something more than maybe just like childhood attachment type things going on. And so we were always very aware of that. He was fully aware of the alphabet at a very early age, if you ask my wife, she would know the perfect age that like he knew the whole alphabet, started spelling and doing all of those things kind of early. When it came to comprehension, that was a whole different thing. There was, I think, a longer timeline for him to get to like that story comprehension that maybe comes more naturally for neurotypical kids. And so that was the area that we really had to focus on, because he liked the Black Bear book. There's no like necessarily a message there. And so those are the things that appealed. But getting him into books like The Wind in the Willows or other things like that, it took a lot of training on story comprehension. And that was something that we worked hard on to really get him to like appreciate the nuance of character development. Really simple things in some books, but maybe more difficult for him. And then, you know, my middle son has always been, he's like the loved black sheep of the family. He's different in every way. So he's never read, and we've never pushed him too hard at it. And then my youngest son also is on the spectrum. And so finding books that work for him is a totally different thing. But I feel like I've blabbed a lot, so I will.
Yes. Yeah. It. So you mentioned that the transition and getting your son to read for comprehension and really understand what he was reading and think about character development, that part was a little bit harder. Do you remember, or can you speak to, what were some of the things that you did to sort of help that, to bridge that for him?
Okay. So a couple of things, and I hope that I am not stepping on the toes of people who have like classical educations in this area, because I don't. I'm just a dad who's a writer, a reader, and like had to experience his own late blooming love of books. So I've only done things.
Yeah. That's okay, because those are our listeners. Most of our listeners are moms and dads that just want to support their kids. So I love that.
Well, so let me tell you the story that I think is really profound in terms of helping a kid understand character progression, and it's probably off the beaten path. But my son wanted to read Harry Potter, and so he tried it and felt, and this is my oldest again, the one who has trouble with kind of like character development, storyline, story comprehension, and he was really struggling with the Sorcerer's Stone. So we decided, why don't we check out the movie from the library and watch it as a family and like see if he can understand it visually. And if he can, then let's ask him to read it again. And that's exactly what happened. After he watched the first movie, he loved it so much, he wanted to read the book, and he finished it in a couple of days. And we're like, are you sure you read it? And he said, yes. So we had him read the second book. Similar experience, kind of not fully in it. It was like the first book was so much better. So we did the movie thing again, feeling a little bit scared, like he's not actually learning from the book, he's learning from the movies. But by the time we got to The Prisoner of Azkaban, hopefully everybody now knows the titles of the Harry Potter books. By the time we got to The Prisoner of Azkaban, he was off to the races. He finished the rest of the series so quickly and passed all of his AR tests in school. If I think most of the country does AR tests, but they're, I was going to say comprehension tests for kids to make sure they're actually like getting it. He passed all of those with flying colors, and it was just amazing to watch, because that was in third grade. He was very young, but when he figured out how to understand that universe, he was able to apply like the lessons he learned from the films then to the books. And it was really powerful, because now he's moved on to be, he's the leader in AR points in his entire school and absolutely loves reading. And his recall, his retention, his understanding is just so advanced. And I remember fighting with my wife. I don't know if I meant to go here necessarily, but I remember fighting with her and being like, we shouldn't use movies. That's cheating. I remember really being upset about it for a period of time. And she was like, hey, whatever it takes. And she was right. And I'm really, really proud of her for taking that stand. And it made a big difference in his life.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love that story, because we talk a lot about using movies and reading, like getting kids excited to read by saying, once you finish the book, then you can watch the movie. And I have this whole like book versus movie unit, and I've done like some camps. That's what we do with my son. We finish The Witches and we watch the movie, The Witches.
Yeah.
So I love that you turned it around and used the movie almost as like a pre-reading, right? You used it ahead to support, to sort of scaffold the comprehension.
Yeah, so, a beautiful, scaffold is perfect,
That's fantastic. I love that. All right. So what advice do you have for other families who are listening that might have a struggling or reluctant reader?
From my own life, what we touched on early was, again, I feel like I'm saying things that I do. Like, I'm giving advice that I have struggled to take myself, which is the worst. Don't call them out if you catch them being dishonest about it, because they're not doing it to offend you, and they're not doing it because they're lazy. This is what I know about kids now, and I'll still fail at it, but your kids aren't lazy. They're scared of authority. In like this really strange way, I believe that that's true of basically every kid. Is like, authority is you having to step into the unknown and put your life in the hands of somebody else. And I know that sounds almost like trite when we're talking about something as simple as reading, but they're trying to make you proud. They're trying to impress you. And yet they're also struggling with their own fear. And so, especially with my middle son, who we won't talk as much about in this conversation because his reading journey has been different, is like, he does some of the same stuff I did, where, you know, you ask him if he loves reading and he's like, oh yeah, you know, Diary of Wimpy Kids is my favorite series. It's changed my life. And my gut reaction is to be like, oh, which one? What story? Who's your favorite character? And then I realize, like, I can only do harm by shaming him and making him feel bad. And I experienced that as a child. And so I guess my advice is, let your kids develop and just present great options as often and as in various ways as possible, whether it's movies, like you said, audiobooks, anything like that. And then I would tie up this comment by saying, I learned late in life that I had dyslexia. I was always pretty sure there were some really strong signs, but again, my parents weren't super attentive to that kind of stuff. And what really helps me is actually listening to the audiobook at the same time I'm reading the book. And to this day, I still do that. I'm reading Don Winslow right now. And one of his novels from the library has the audiobook with it. So I just put my headphones on, hold the book in my hands, and let the narrator read to me. It's done wonders. And so I understand if I'm an adult who has some reading disability, I should really make way for my kids to experience it at their pace.
That's really great advice. And definitely something I encourage families, you know, when they ask, what should I be doing differently? Or how can I be supporting my kids? It's the same things you're saying, like read to them more, be in it with them, you know, be supportive, be their partner, and try to stay their safe space. Because if your kiddo is struggling, or you suspect that they're struggling with reading, and you're seeing that at home, then they're struggling big time at school. And they're working really hard at school to develop, you know, to cope with their insecurities and their fears, to do the work. So, you know, try to keep reading at home like a feel good time as much as you can.
There's a book that I really love. One of the early ones that meant a lot to me was called Blue Light Jazz. I say early, but I mean, he talked about reading a book and pairing it with like chocolates. And he's like, I love chocolates so much that I ate those chocolates while I read this book. And it made it this special occasion. It took away the fear. And I think that's really
We actually have another episode that with another guest that she talked about, like how snacks, like just having snacks can make reading more fun. So I'll make sure to put that link in the show notes too. All right. So you mentioned earlier that you're also a writer yourself. So tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing as a writer, where people can find out about you and more about your books.
Yeah. So I will do the caveat that at this age in my life, not by choice necessarily, but I do write very adult themed books. So anybody listening who would even ever want to explore what I write, please know that I would give it a rating of rated R. I fell in love with Raymond Chandler and the kind of hard-boiled mysteries of that time, and Humphrey Bogart and all that kind of stuff. And I wanted to write something that had that tone. So I would watch those movies. I would read those books. I would get that voice in my head. And then I would sit down and I would write this detective novel. At the same time, I grew up in a very rigid, strict Christian family. And so for a very long time, like the only voice in my head was the man as the head of the household. And as I got to a certain age and met my wife and how powerful and strong she was, I really understood I need to adjust the training I've gotten. And so I had a college mate who challenged me to write a book from the perspective of a character who believed the exact opposite of me. So I picked a female protagonist who was a deep, deep feminist and had very strong feminist beliefs. And I wrote her and it changed my world. It changed my life. And I love writing her and I feel like she's part of the family, but she is vulgar in like ways that are just unbelievable. Yeah, she's so depraved and, but also lovable, I think. So that's why I say like, be very careful, but I do write detective mysteries, the Lucantime mysteries. I have a website, www.jodyjsperling.com, where you can find all my books and, there are links to everything else in social media and online where awesome. I can be found. Yeah.
Fantastic. So the books are really for our adult listeners.
Yes. Yeah. Do not share them with your children. They're not okay for your kids.
But I will say the nice thing, if you do decide to check out these mysteries, then you could share with your kiddo that you've done that, right? So if you're like, hey, like I just heard about this new author. I really love mysteries. I'm going to check out some of his work.
Yeah.
Maybe let's go to the library and find a new author for you to look at, or, you know, you can make connections and make it a literary experience, part of the culture for your family to like try new books, try new things, try new genres. You know, you could read the mystery and say, gosh, I haven't read a mystery in a long time. And this was so great. I couldn't believe, you know, the clues, or I couldn't, you know, what happened. And, you know, have you read a mystery before?
Well, and Ashley, what I would say too is I think that children learn from example too. And so I know that you're sitting on your couch at night reading books as well. Whatever way you do it, your kids are actually seeing you read books, and that has a really huge impact as well.
Right. Absolutely. Great. All right. So I like to wrap up all of my guest podcasts by talking about books even more. So what is your favorite childhood book? I mean, you told us a little bit about your experience with The Hobbit. I imagine that had a big impact on you.
Massive impact. Other books that were really profound for like the deep cut, the Henry book series. So there is a Siamese cat named Henry. I don't know if others have run into it before, but the first one I believe is Cross Country Cat. There's Hot Air Henry and they go on. My mom used to read those to me when I was a child. And I've had several Siamese cats in my life because of how much that impacted me and how like the deep that love went. As I got older, the Chronicles of Narnia were a really big deal to me. And I think they are for a lot of kids. So that's not as much of a deep cut, but like The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe just opened a world that I didn't know existed. And I did read through those as well. Yes, The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings. And I'm trying to think because I feel like there were a couple others that had an outsized impact. I wish they were coming to me right now, but
that's all right.
Let's stop there for now.
Yeah. All right. And then what are some of the books that you're reading with your kids right now or that they're reading and loving?
Okay. So my oldest son, like I said, he's the leader of the Arrowpoint. So he really is getting after it. For kids anywhere, I would say between 9 and 12, there is The School for Good and Evil. He adores that book series. And so it takes like Peter Pan, and it actually casts Peter Pan in maybe a less favorable light, and then Captain Hook, and says like, you never really thought about his backstory and who he might have been. It's the idea that all of your classic fairy tale characters actually go to a school, and there's a school for good guys and a school for evil guys and or evil people, I should say.
That makes me think of the like fractured fairy tale genre. It's like your genre, you know, like there's that one book of the Three Little Pigs where it's like from the point of view of the wolf. I always loves that one.
Yes, there's something really fun because it is part of our like cultural understanding of stories of like, oh, it's the pig who built his house with bricks that's the good guy, and then like somebody comes and tells the story from the wolf's perspective and you're like, those pigs are devious. Maybe not everything is as it seems.
Awesome. All right. Fantastic. Well, this has been really wonderful. A really great conversation. So thank you so much for joining me today and helping me to encourage and support all of our families out there with their reluctant readers.
Ashley, I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to talk with you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. It was wonderful.
All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. I really enjoyed talking with Jody. I think he made some really great points. I love when he spoke on parent recommendations and how they were so valuable to him and how other families would share the books that their kids were into, and then he would present those to his kiddos. I think that's a really good tip. And I also loved his advice on, you know, what we talk about here a lot at the Reading Project podcast. We talk about keeping home a safe space for your readers, making it fun, keeping that connection and that bond strong where you stay in the parent role and the support role and not like calling them out on their reading related behaviors. All right, everyone, make sure if you are an adult listener who loves mysteries, you check out his books. I know I'm going to head over and check them out right now. All right, everyone, until next time, keep reading. Thank you all so much for listening. It truly means the world to me. If you love this podcast and have found it helpful and you want to help us reach more families, you could do one of two things or both. Just take a screenshot and text your three best friends or teacher friends, encouraging them to check out the podcast. Or take a moment and head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. I love reading the reviews and hearing what you're enjoying about the show and how the show is helping you at home. And I'd love to be able to give you a shout out on the show and share your review with everyone. So thanks again. Until next time, keep reading.